represents history and tradition, and he's the one that kind of babysits them and makes sure they don't get in any trouble. And so they don't want anything to do with that. And so he's going to break, and he's going to be his own lion, so to speak. And he said that the first thing he was going to do under his reign is get rid of tradition. Because Zazu was saying, well, based on the tradition, you two guys are supposed to get married, and he's trying to go on. And he's like, oh, well, that's the first thing that's going to go, tradition. Amen. And so what Simba is doing is he's mimicking that age-old voice of youth that says, I'm going to be totally independent. This is not my mom's life or my dad's life. They're old school. I'm going to do it my way. They didn't really know stuff, but now I know all the new stuff. I'm going to do it just the way I want to do it, and I'm going to get it done. Remember, we had similar songs sort of that we sang to our parents, letting them know that as soon as we got out from under them, it was going to be a whole different ball game. And Simba is saying, I just can't wait to be king. But we were saying, no more curfews, no more house rules. Oh, I just can't wait to be 18. Amen. Now, you may not have had that exact same song, but it was something like that. Amen. You had it all figured out, where you were going to go when you got the keys to the car and all of that kind of stuff. Amen. So that's nothing new. We had songs like that. And in this clip, Simba and Nala are on their way to some place that was forbidden by their parents. That's why they're whispering, because they don't want Zazu to hear, because he's going to go tell. So they're trying to get a little plan together to ditch Zazu, because they're going to go to the elephant graveyard. Because they're like, you know, those old folks, they don't know. They don't want us to do nothing. We're going to go to the graveyard, and we're going to have some fun over there. So that's what they're whispering about. Amen. So he doesn't want that whole shadow of his parents and tradition and what goes on in the jungle. They don't want that over them because they've got a whole new plan. Simba's going to be the king. Amen. And so he wants that known. And so he's singing the song and the whole deal. But that's how we look at our lives sometimes. We look at what came before us. We look what our parents did. And we sometimes say, This isn't my father's Oldsmobile. You know, this is a new one, and I'm going to do it my way. If we go and look at the scripture in Ecclesiastes, this is Solomon who is writing. And Solomon, we all know Solomon, and he's the preacher here. And he says, and he talks about what he sees on the earth. And he says, one generation passes away, and another generation comes. And that's basically what happens. All of our generations, we're on this kind of march toward our own extinction, because we've got to move out the way so that the new people can come and the young people can come and the next generation. And he talks about the sun that moves in a cycle. The sun comes up every day, and then it goes down, and then the next day it comes up. And it goes down again, and winds blow in circular kinds of patterns. If you look at what the weathermen tell us, they don't know everything, but they do know some stuff that all of our weather systems begin in the ocean. With the waves and the currents in the ocean, and they stir up because, you know, most of the earth is water. So whatever happens in the ocean is going to make its way to the land. And so those winds and that water are all programmed to go in this circular fashion and do what needs to be done. And so it ends up being that this preacher is looking around and saying, everything is going in circles. Everything. The sun comes up, it goes down, it goes up, it comes down. The wind is blowing around and around. And so he's talking about this. And he comes to the conclusion, he says, all is vanity. And vanity means it's all useless. The same old thing every day. That's what Simba was saying. This old stuff, forget it. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to be a different king. I'm going to be one that nobody's ever seen. And so that's how we look at our world sometimes, that all is vanity. It's commonplace, it's pointless, it's useless. And this is coming from the mouth of the king. And that's kind of amazing because he's a king who said that he loved God. And God had given him lots of gifts and he's accomplished great things. But still, he looked around and said, you know what? I got all this stuff. And I keep doing all these things and I'm making accomplishments, but it's getting old. And it's all for nothing. I don't get the point. And he comes to the saying, there's nothing new under the sun. In other words, I'm looking all around. I can't find anything exciting anymore. I've had it all, done it all, and there's nothing new under the sun. And I think that's the one thing in this, he really got that right. There is nothing new under the sun. And so even as I say that, I know some people are saying in their heads, they're saying, well, you know, I got this cell phone. And, you know, back when you were a kid, Ms. Lewis, you all had those big phones connected to the wall. You couldn't even go 5 feet and talk on the phone, you know. And so we do have inventions. But guess what, guys? It's nothing new. Because all of the monomers and the polymers that they put together to make plastic to put on that phone, all that stuff comes from natural gas, oil, and plants. It was all here from the beginning. It's just that we didn't figure out how to use it for a while, but it was all here. And so the whole circle of creation is a big recycling bin. It just all goes around, and nothing that comes up is really new. Those materials that we use on all of this quote unquote new stuff, it's all just stuff that we recycled from somewhere else. And it's been here, but we didn't know how to use it. It's just new to us. Hebrews 4:3 tells us that the works of God were finished before the foundation of the world. So in God's plan, everything's done. In our short little range of view all around, We're thinking that there's a whole lot of new stuff, but God's already seen it, done it, and he knows what's going to happen way after that one. Amen. But way in the future, when they're starting to put chips in your brain instead of going to school, you won't go somewhere, they won't put the chip in, okay? And the sad part is you're going to have to pay for the chip. So, you know, and then in those days, they're going to look back and say, y'all actually read books? I mean, y'all had them computers like they were big as your whole hand. Amen. And so everything is cyclical. And as Gladys Knight used to sing back in the day, life goes on as usual. So when you read this part of the scripture, it can be very depressing because you're seeing this great man of God who's saying, none of this stuff really matters. And we listen, the world has listened to Solomon over the ages because he was a man of great wisdom. And so to hear him say that and to kind of be in this kind of spiral, it sounds like depression. Nothing's worth anything. I keep working and working and everything's still the same. But thanks be to God that there's a whole gospel. Amen. Amen. And that God's word isn't in sometimes the bits and pieces we pick it up in. But the scripture, if you keep reading, will clear itself up. And how do we get to this place where everything seems to be worthless or nothing? And we see that in everyday life. We see people who have had great contributions to society, have made great money, have done great things. And we see those people take their own lives and we say, wow, what happened? Yeah. It's that same kind of thing. But listen, if you go to verse 14, the word of God always straightens everything out. Amen. That's why we have to keep reading. Amen. And take the whole counsel of God, not just the bits and pieces that we like. And it says, verse 14 says, I have seen all of the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. What that means is I'm a worldly man. I've been everywhere, seen everything. And it's all worth nothing, and it's getting on my nerves. But if you look a little bit closer at that one piece of scripture, the key is is look at what he's seeing. He said, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. What is he looking at? He's looking at just what he can see all around. And sometimes that's what happens to us. All we're looking at is what's under the sun. We're not looking at the fact that God is not under the sun. God's above the sun. He's outside the sun because God created the sun. So if all you're looking at is what's under the sun, you're going to miss the whole boat. Because what's under the sun is a very limited view. So what he didn't put into this was the fact that God made all this, all these cycles that are viewing in physical life. God did that. He set it up that way, and he did it for a reason. When you take God out of the equation, then it's for nothing. It's like the little hamster. You know, you put them in that wheel, and they just keep running and running and running, and they think they're getting somewhere, but they're really in the same place the whole time. They're just spinning the wheels, as we say. Amen. And so what this scripture is letting us know that if you only deal with what you see right around you, you will sink into depression. Because there's nothing new in it. It's mundane. It's repetitive. And what is the whole deal? Well, the whole deal is that God made it that way. He created that. Amen. And so no wonder that we're bored, because we look at our own lives the same way, our own histories, the place where we are in the world. And we start to complain because all we're looking at is what's under the sun. We say, wow, I got this job. I have to go there every day. They're getting on my nerves. They won't let me do my work. And then my paycheck doesn't even come on time, and I'm just waiting. And we see all of those things, and God is saying, but look at me. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And we're so busy looking at what's under the sun that we can't even hear the voice of God saying, but come on, here I am. Ask me. I'll tell you. I'll show you. I'll give you what you need. Amen. And so we don't want to miss the mark today, because we all have histories, and those histories are rooted in this whole circle of life that seems monotonous, but God put it in motion for a reason. We often look at our own personal histories. We neglect God in the midst, but each one of us has a system of three histories. We have a spiritual history, which is our life in God, which includes like how we began to hear the voice of God, and when we answered God, and when we confessed our sin. And then we have a collective history that we share with groups of other people. Amen. And I'm going to use Brother Michael. He left, but I'm going to use him as an example, because he was all in my message downstairs. When you guys were down there praying, he was all in it. And he was talking about something that happened to him, and he was in this situation where there was a fire. And thanks be to God, he got out. There was someone who didn't. But I'm understanding most of the people got out. And that just is an example of how God moves in us and around us in history. This is what I saw from what Brother Michael was saying downstairs when he was praying with the group earlier today. God has got this history that started with God. So there is no time on that. We don't even know about that time-wise. God wanted some people to hear the gospel. So he allowed them to have this collective experience of this fire happening around them and all the things that went with that. And that was, you know, that wasn't a good thing. It was a terrible thing, only if you're looking at just that. But because of that experience that they had together, they had a history together, because they had that little incident that happened about the fire. And what Brother Michael was saying is that after the fire and the rescue and all of that, he was able to come back to some of those people and witness to them and tell them about the love of Christ. What does that mean? Is that the overarching plan of God was that somebody would hear the gospel. He knew who it was, he knew when it was, and he knew why they needed to hear it right now. So he allowed this collective history, which is this fire thing, to happen, and everybody's all panicking about the fire, but God was working it out, because when Brother Michael got back to his senses and realized everything that had happened, he went back to those people. And he didn't just go back to say, oh, hi, I'm glad you're okay. He went back to them with the gospel. What does that mean? Is this big circle of things that happens? It's all orchestrated by God. And all of our histories, our individual histories, and our collective group histories, and then God's history, which has no time, all work together, what? For our good. Amen. And so what we need to do is not what Simba's doing and saying, I'm just going to break from all that. Because that's what, you know, we've been young. Young people want to break from all that. I'm not doing that anymore. You know, we're going to do it different now. This is a new day. And people have been saying it's a new day for thousands of years. They've been thinking that it was a new day. And every generation that comes later is calling them the old day, and they got another new day. So again, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just a bunch of recycled stuff that goes on and on and on. Amen. So when we get frustrated, we need to look at ourselves in a new way. God is a God of history. And in thinking about this whole message, I had to go back to the book of Genesis, because that's where God outlines his history for us. We don't know what happened when the earth was void and nothing was in it, because we weren't in it, and we weren't in it. So God had to give you the history of what happened, and it reads like this. It said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved on the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day and the darkness night. See, in the first history, he's setting up a pattern. Light is day. Dark is night. You go far enough in time and it happens again. Light is day. Dark is night. God did that. Amen? So when we look at it and say, this is just boring, I hate it, what are we saying to God? I don't even want to think about it, what we're saying to God. We have to understand that all these motions were initiated by him. And then he put that history out for us. Why do we need a history of what God did? Well, we need that particular history because there are some folks that say, well, God didn't really do all that. People just made that up. What really happened is it was just a big explosion and everything was just here. And I thought, okay, so we have the Big Bang Theory. Amen. So what God is doing with history, I'm trying to say why we need to embrace history. God is using his own history to say, you need this foundation, because there are going to come some forces and some spirits and some folks that are bent on saying that I don't exist. And they say God is dead. It didn't happen like it says in the Bible. The Bible's just an old book. You can't trust it because a whole bunch of people wrote it a long time ago. It was just a big bang. We're scientists. We figured it out. It was an explosion. And when the dust cleared, we had everything. Now, what's interesting about that version of history, and I don't want to, you know, say anything about Steve Hawkins and them, because Steve Hawkins and them, they're the ones that came up with that. But in the meantime, when Steve Hawkins was, I'm not going to say he was talking, he was communicating with somebody. And he told the community of scientists that he thought he had made a mistake about the Big Bang Theory. So right now, and I don't know how he's doing this either, he's writing a book. And if anybody knows about Steve Hawkins, he's a paraplegic. He can't even move. He can't talk. He can't do anything. And I don't even know how they're getting this stuff from him about what he's doing. But I saw on TV there was a young man who was typing. And he was asking Steve questions, and Steve was like blinking his eyes and rolling his eyes. And he said, oh, yeah, I get it. And he's like, and he's typing the book. So I don't understand all of that, and I'm not even going to get into that. If he said he's writing a book, he's writing a book. He's obviously a very smart man. You know, because he came up with the Big Bang Theory and the whole world is believing that. So he's a powerful guy. So who knows how he's really doing that. But he did recant that and say, you know, I've been investigating this some more, and I don't think it was a Big Bang Theory. I think it was something else. I'm not sure. So supposedly he's writing this other book to show that what he's thinking is happening now. But again, God had to put his history in place so that we would not be out of place. And we would not be running around being blown here and there with all these different doctrines and not understanding. God has given us his history. And he's also given us our own history. He put things together in circles and repetition. Why does he do that? That seems so boring. It might seem boring, but that's how we learn. As human beings, that's how we learn. When we're little kids running around, we don't know anything. All we know is what we keep hearing over and over again. And then we understand that if we try hard enough, we can like make the same sounds and do the same thing and make the same facial expressions so kids start trying it. Why? Because it's repetition. It's the way we learn. So all that stuff that we play down like it's really nothing and it's just a bunch of, God put it that way so that everything would work together. It's the circle of life, guys. And it's all orchestrated by God, because if it's not, then we got to take a step back. Because if we say that God isn't doing all this, then that means he's not all powerful. And if he's not all powerful, something is really, really wrong here. So we know that God is all powerful, and we do say that everything is in God's hands. But sometimes we forget, because we start looking around under the sun. And then it seems like that's all there is, because this under the sun stuff can get out of control. And so we start looking around, but we have to remember that God is the author of it all. So God gives us his history, which is our spiritual history. And then we have some collective histories where groups of people experience some of the same things. Again, we have to understand that that is because of God's design. When we look in the Bible at the children of Israel, that is not, it's the history of God revealing himself to a people. And that people are the Israelites. And there's a whole lot of stuff in there that happens. Well, what happens? Well, the same thing that always happens. God gives his word. We say we understand we're going to do it. We get off somewhere else. Somebody says something and we do what we say we are going to do. Okay? So then we mess up and God has to chastise us. Then he has to go back and repeat the law again because we didn't listen the first time. And then the second time we say, oh yeah, God, I got it this time. And we're going to really do what you say. And then God says, okay, I'm a God of my word. Let's go forward. Then we go forward a little bit more and this other wave comes up and people start complaining again. And why did God bring us down here? And so they get do something else and they get a calf and they worship that and they do, and then they get busted for that. And then God has to chastise them again. And then he says, but I'm a God of my word. I'm a God of my... It's just like when we tell our kids something 15,000 times. Don't we get tired of that? We get tired of that. But God is showing us that from the time he presented himself to man, we've been doing the same thing. We get so far down the road and we lose our minds. And then God has to chastise us and bring us back. Then we do it again, and God chastises us and brings us back. God chastises us and brings us back. Amen. Why? Because we don't learn unless we do it again and again. It's the circle of life, God. It's the circle of life. It's repetitive all the time. Amen. And so we think those things are little things, but God designed it that way because that's the way he made us. Amen. Even to those with the Israelites, they have a collective history. And that history, the Bible tells us, was put in the Bible for our learning and for our edification. And so we're supposed to be learning from their mistakes. Now, are we? There could be a book about that. We read the Bible. We knew what it said. We did something else. God chastised us. We came back again. We said we're sorry. We repented of our sins. We got down the road, did it again. We had to get chastised. What is that? It's a circle. It's a big circle, amen, because that's how we learn, amen. But God is faithful to his plan, and that's the good news, that even some people who were not born Israelites, they still have access to the promise of God, amen. We're grafted in, amen, to that circle, and it's still going to be a circle because we're not perfect. So we're still going to go through some things, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to dip and fall here and there. Amen. But it all goes back to that circle of life. Amen. And we can be encouraged because the one thing that does not change is God. Amen. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. And that in itself lets you know that things are going to go in a circle. How so? Those of you who know a little bit about geometry, this is a straight line, right? Straight line, right? You got this end and that end. But theoretically, this end and that end will never, ever meet if you keep the line straight. That's like geometry, you know. So if you keep the line in a straight line, the two ends never meet. So how can God be the Alpha and the Omega if the two sides never meet? The only way that works is if it's a circle. Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And this whole thing that we see is the circle of life with God keeping it all together. Amen. And so all those things that we think we need to step out of and we don't like, God is saying, no, I placed it that way for my glory. Amen. Why were the Egyptians chasing the Israelites? I'm sure they thought that was terrible. They thought it was the end of their lives. They were running, and they didn't even know the sea was going to open. Now, we know that, so we're expecting it. Oh, the sea's going to open because we read it already. But they didn't even know. They were just running, and they got to the sea, and they panicked. And they were like, oh, my gosh, he brought us here to be just swallowed up by these people. Amen. But God did a great thing in their midst. Amen. Because God always breaks in to show us that in this whole circle, it might seem like monotonous, but when at the times when God needs to, he's going to do in that circle just what he needs to do to get us to the next point. Amen. And we've got to then respect the process. In corporate, they talk about, you know, you have to respect the process. You have to buy into the process so you can get where you're supposed to go. And so God is saying that we've got to respect our histories and know that his hand is all in it. Amen, because nothing happens unless God allows it. If that's not true, then God's not all-powerful, and he doesn't know anything, and we know that's not true. Amen, so we've got to respect our histories. We as African-Americans, we don't even like to, it's getting to the point people don't even want to talk about slavery. You talk something about slavery, people are closing their eyes like, you know, they don't even want to deal with that, amen. And that's the ugly part of our history, and it is true. But what it does do is it lets us know that even though that was part of the circle, that God was all in that circle. And even though they you know, the middle passage, it doesn't even matter whether it's the middle passage, the end passage, the through passage, whatever it was, God had already chosen a remnant that was going to get to the other side, that was going to tell people that this is the reason why we survived all that time. They got to the shores of America, had some problems with that too, but we know the history because the civil rights movement, the black church in America rocked that thing. We were at the helm of it. We had lots of help and lots of people all around, but the African-American church was in the front of that, amen. So why did that happen? Because God had it already figured out. And while we're running around panicking, God's saying, okay, we're to stage 5. And so, you know, God knows it's going to happen. He already booked it. And we're down there running around like, where is God? They're talking about us. They you know, so we have to look at it the way God looks at it. And that's probably the message, is that we have these histories, and they're not always nice, but we have to know that God is in the mix. Amen. Amen. If we reject history and reject tradition that God has placed us in, we're rejecting the providence of God in guiding our development as human beings. Sometimes it's hard, but the end result is that we become better worshipers. That we have a testimony. With no history, there's no testimony. What you gonna tell? If you're so embarrassed because you don't wanna tell what happened to you, how's anybody gonna get healed? How's anybody gonna be encouraged if you don't tell your history? Amen. And not that you have to go just blabbing everything all the time. You listen to the Holy Spirit. But God put us in these things so that we could help somebody else. Amen. And then we have our personal histories. And those are sometimes the hardest to embrace, because those are the ones where we suffer personal hurt. And people do things and they did it to you personally. And so it's hard to take. And you say to yourself, boy, if I was writing this script, it'd be something else. Amen. And so sometimes I look at my personal history, and my great-great-grandmother, whose name was Hannah, was a slave in America. And she had this child by the slave master, so we know how that all went. And so when I look back, I get this kind of anger in me, like, how dare they just, like, treat somebody like they're just an object? And, you know, you're going off because you're only looking at what's under the sun. And from under the sun, it's just, you know, that's why we get angry about some things and we get worked up about stuff we don't need to get worked up about. And our blood pressure goes up because we're getting worked up about stuff that belongs in God's realm. Leave it alone. Let him do what he's supposed to do. Amen. And we'll all be happier if we would do that. Amen. And we stop trying to be God and just be a vessel for God. Amen. And so that union... there was a man born, a boy child, and his name was Simon English, and he was my great-grandfather. And from Simon English came another Hannah, and then there was Martha Johnson, who was my mother's mother, and she had 8 children, and my mom was the last one. And then from Evelyn Johnson came me. So if I get mad at God because that first little thing that was happening, then I never get down the line, amen? And I wouldn't be standing here saying this to you. What I'm saying is even our personal histories, they're replete with stuff that we could say, oh, man, I could just take that chapter out, just burn it, just get rid of it. But God knows everything in our personal histories, in our collective histories, and all of the ways that they intersect. And we have got to have faith that God is going to work it out to our good. Amen. And we've got to stop stepping back and trying to get out. We've got to say what our history is and tell the young people. I think about all the time, even more so now that I work at Schumann Center sometime, and I hear these young people and I hear what they're saying and talking. They don't think that they're connected to anything. Yes. They are so feeling like they're out there by themselves. They think nobody understands. Half the time, they don't know who their people are because people are keeping secrets about who's mom and who's dad. Nobody wants to tell. And then you got these kids floating around. That's why they're killing each other in the street. They have no idea that this is another human being that's connected to the circle of life. And every life they take is going to affect somebody else, somebody's mom, somebody's cousin, all down the line. And the way these families are getting all mixed up now, it's going to come back around. You don't know how that thing's going to come back around. Amen. And we need to tell our histories, no matter how it hurts, and just tell these young people, yeah, we were young too. We messed up. We made mistakes. We did stuff. We knew it wasn't right, but now we know better. And we're trying to tell you, you do have a place in the history of this community and of this city and of this world, and we need you. Don't be out in there shooting folks down. These kids, they don't have any sense that they belong. They don't have any sense that they're part of something that's bigger than themselves. All they can see is what's under the sun. Why? Because we dropped the ball. Somehow we dropped the ball. And we did not tell them, amen, the reason why you have to act the way you have to act. The reason why we're setting things up so you can have certain friends, and we're going to arrange your party because we're not going to have any mess. So we're arranging your party. Sorry. We're sending out the invitations. Now, you know, because we get into this liberal thing and they get 12 and 13 and we say, oh, let them do their own thing. They don't have a own thing. Their thing is connected to us. Amen. Praise God. We got to, with all these babies floating around, we got to own this thing. Because this next generation coming up, we have got to give them the history of our faith. We've got to give them and stop saying, well, you know, you can't always be quoting the Bible. Well, when it comes to some things, I'm quoting the Bible, sorry. Amen. We quote everything else. We quote people on TV. We quote people in books. They write books. We quote them. What does that mean? I can write a book tomorrow and put it on the internet. That doesn't mean I have any power. We need to give them God's word. That's the glue that keeps this whole circle of life together. It's God's word. Amen. My grandson, he thinks he's smart. And so he's always coming to me talking about, well, you know, my mom said, I said, look, let me tell you something. Your mother is my daughter. So don't come to me talking to me about my daughter. And then he'll say something else, you know, because you know how kids are. They try to play you against somebody else. And then so then he'll say, well, I did such and such a thing, and she just made me angry, and I got smart. And I said, oh, but what does the Bible say? And then I taught this to him since he was like when he was first talking. And he said, children, obey your parents and the Lord. And I said, very good. Now, why do you want to do that? And he says, because it's right. Okay, son, I'll talk to you later. Some things we just have to use God's word just to pull rank. Forget it. Forget it. We're saving these kids' lives sometimes when we do that, because they're going to come back when they get in trouble, because they get just like Simba. I'm going to be my own thing. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to be the king all by myself, and I'm going to tell everybody what to do. You know, and sometimes they get out there, and you know what they learn. They learn that what they thought wasn't what they thought. And you know where they come back to? They come back to the old school corny people that they couldn't stand and said that they would never, ever come back. They come showing up with all their stuff that you don't even have room for anymore because you've changed the whole plan of the house. And they want to come back in and bring that stuff. Amen. But you know what? Even in that cycle, the good news is they come back to the rock. They come back to what they know is stable and true, and it's not going anywhere. They come back to mom and dad. Thanks be to God, that's where they come. Because they could go somewhere and really be a hot mess if they go someplace else. But when they come back home, even though, like the commercial, that cracks me up, where they turned the boy's room into part of the kitchen. he came home, his room was like this big. you know, so even if they only got a closet to sleep in, amen, they know at that point that they're safe. And that's the good news, because everything goes in cycles. And God set it all up that way, amen. And if we get with the program, we can live a more relaxed life. Because we'll stop trying to be God and know everything and figuring everything out, and we'll just roll with it. It's the circle of life. The song says it moves all of us, even if we don't want to go. Somebody's connected to you in some kind of way, and whatever they move, it's going to move you some kind of way. Even if you stand off to the side and say, I'm not part of that crazy family. I'm not doing that. Something they do is going to pull you in. Why? Because you're connected. And that's just the way it is. And you can say you're not going, but you can't help it, because there's a connection that you didn't have anything to do with. It was manufactured by God. And if we put our trust in him, amen, if we put our trust in him and not in the seers and not in the horoscopes and not in what somebody else is doing and not in the popular culture, amen, and let God do what he does, he will do miraculous things right there in the circle. Right there in the circle of life, amen. if we stop not being ashamed and take God's word everywhere and stand on it, even when they call us corny and dumb and they don't want to, oh, here she comes again. Well, let them say it. Amen. Because somebody's going to hear that word. The Bible says that when they hear that word, it won't go out void. And we got to start trusting God. We trust everything else. Amen. And I think about some of the things I trust and it just makes me laugh because I know I trust them. I came to church late one time. Well, a couple of times. But I did come one time. I came one time. Okay. I came late, so I didn't have a parking space. So I'm all the way down by the hoop court, which I don't like. So I parked down there, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm late. I should come on time. So I came. When I left church, I had faith that I was going to go back to my car. And it would be there, even though I didn't want to walk that far. It would be there, and I would get in my car, and I'd be glad, and I'd kick my shoes off, and I would drive home. I got down there, and the whole windows on the one side of my car were busted out. And they took the $2 that was in my little cup holder. No, for real. I was really upset about that, because I had to go get on the turnpike, and I needed that $2. And I said, they broke my window for $2. And then I couldn't just get in and jump in and ride home because there was glass everywhere. There was glass. They must have hit my window with a baseball bat because it shattered into a million little pieces. It was all in the seat. It was in the back seat. It was those pieces of glass. I think I'm still finding them. From time to time, I'll find a little piece of glass somewhere that I didn't vacuum or something. But what I'm trying to say is we have faith in a lot of things that there's really no guarantee about. And because we're under the sun and things under the sun happen in a certain way most of the time, there's some times under the sun when things don't happen like we think. But we trust it. I was going on this job and I was putting in these hours. I was just calculating how I was going to use that money. By the time I got that check, I almost forgot that I was getting it. Like when it came, I was surprised. I was like, it was almost like Christmas. I was like, wow, I got a check. Amen. But what I'm trying to say is, but my faith was, I thought, okay, you go to a job, you get paid something like every 2 weeks or every two cycles or whatever they do. But it was like into the next month before I got my first check. And I was like, wait a minute. But I had faith in it. So what God is calling us to do is have faith in the circle. The circle of life belongs to God. He placed it there for our good, not to destroy us. Sometimes we don't see the next step ahead, but we know that God said, I know the plans I have for you. And my plans are to prosper you and not to hurt you. We got to stand on that. And once we stand on that, we see things in a new way and we become appreciative of the people around us. And we start to see things under the sun and say, oh, that's okay, because God's going to work that out. Oh, now I know why Ma said, da, 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 da. Oh, I get it now. You know, because when you're just under the sun, you can't see. You can only see what you can see. And when the sun goes down, you don't see anything. So we have to trust God in the process. And the process is that all this stuff under the sun, while it looks repetitive, and it looks like there's no order to it, it's all been ordered by God. The Bible tells us that nobody can even have power unless God allows it. So we can't get mad at the mayor. We can't get mad at the policeman. We can't get mad at any of those folks because they can only operate as far as God's little leash will let them go. But we're God's people, so we have to learn to trust him just like that. And so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet at this time. God wants everybody to attach themselves, not kicking and screaming, but attach themselves purposefully to the circle that he's created so that we can be under his blessings constantly and not get depressed or bent out of shape by what things look like under the sun. But know that God is the author of the sun. He just said a word out of his mouth, and the sun became the sun. and it does everything it's supposed to do. It goes on the path where it's supposed to go, and it gives us light and heat, and it doesn't get too close to burn us up, because that's a hot ball of wax, that thing floating around. It's 93 million miles away from us, and God calculated every inch so that we wouldn't be destroyed. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. No matter what we see that looks like the end of the world, God has already planned it out, measured it out, put it together for my good. Why? It's not because I was perfect or I did everything right. It's just because he's a God that loves me. Hallelujah. He loves me more than I even love myself. Amen. And even when I'm like my little grandson and I get out of order and I don't listen and I do things wrong and I miscalculate, God puts it all back in perspective and says, okay, get up now, Jackie. Do it right now. Amen. Amen. We got to trust him for that kind of love. And it is the circle of life. It moves us all. Amen. Amen. But God wants us to move in the circle of life, not as one of those ones hanging on by a thread, don't know whether you want to be on or off the train, and you're just hanging there, but somebody on there for life. Somebody that's going to take that place, because we got to take that place where God has given us, because we're creating history right now. And everything you do, everything you say is going to be somebody else's legacy. We got to be careful with that. And God trusted us to do it. So the way you walk, the things you say, the things you get involved in, how you handle things, who you love, who you forgive, who you bring in, who you help, who you lend a dime, who you go to them and hold them up when they need somebody to hold them up. You're laying the foundation for their history, because then they're going to look back and say, oh, I remember when Sister Lewis helped me. I'm going to help somebody else. And then they're going to help somebody else, and that's going to be somebody else's history. And then they're going to help somebody else, and that's going to be somebody else's history. And you see how the cycle is still a cycle. It keeps going, but God is there. The Alpha and the Omega, holding it all together. Amen. And he wants us to come and trust him fully. If there's an area in your life where you're not trusting God, God is like, give it up. Come on, give it up. Give it up. See what will happen. Give it to me, dedicate it to me, throw it out there and see what happens. Amen. If you haven't made Jesus your personal Savior, you need to do it now. Amen. You need to get in the circle. Amen. And it's not a hard thing. It's the best life. It's the best life. Amen. You can sit down. This is a little bit long, so. Thank you. ladies and gentlemen, without Jesus, life is an endless circle that goes nowhere till we find our place in the kingdom of God, which binds everything everywhere. With God the Father, who loves us without condition, Jesus, who gave his life to give us a right to eternal life, and the Holy Ghost that empowers us. If you haven't, make a decision now to embrace the life and the history that God has entrusted to you, which includes your destiny. Confess your sin and give your life to the Alpha and the Omega. Today is your day to embrace the circle of life. Stand to your feet. Is there one who would like to come and give your life to the Lord, or if you just care for prayer? God is calling us into a tighter circle, a circle of faith that we can pass on for generations to come. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we